Good morning. Greetings to each one. Feel like you're a different congregation. Many new faces here this morning. I was very blessed this morning with the opening, how my heart grieved to hear of the different Jesus that they see. They hardly see a true Jesus. But it's true in America too. It's true in America. Appreciated the family sharing very much. Brother Wilmer, my thoughts had to go back about 6, 7, 8 years when we were standing up here for the first time doing family sharing. God bless you. I would like to speak this morning on the rock. We've heard much about him this morning. I'd like for us all to rise to our feet. I would like to read to you some of the character of Christ. If you so choose, you can close your eyes and worship with us. He is the Eternal One. He's the Everlasting One. He's the Invincible One. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of our faith. His name is called the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, Counselor, Wonderful. His government and peace, there shall be no end. He is the one that holds my life in the palm of His hands. He is the one that rules the world, even when it's reeling under difficulty. He is the one that sheds light on my path, even when my life is in shambles. He is the one that gives peace to my soul. He is the one that gives answers to my unanswered questions. He is the one that records every thought and action. He is the one that vindicates His children. He is the one that gives hope for the future. Strength for the day, grace for the trials at hand. It is Him who gives sight to the blind, gives hearts to believe on Him when they become bankrupt. There's no more way out. His name is called Jesus. Do you know Him this morning? His name is called Jesus. Do you know Him personally as your Savior? He is our Redeemer. He is our redemption. He's been set forth to be a propitiation. He is the one by whom we can be saved. His name is called Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. He's borne our iniquities. He's become our burden bearer. He's the one that hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's the one that gives breath to all of creation. He's the one that translated us into the kingdom of light. Who is He, this altogether lovely one? His name is called Jesus. Has your heart bowed down to His tender calling? To come home? He's the one that has created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were by Him and for Him. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the one that deserves all preeminence in each of our lives. Does He? He is before all things. It is by Him that all things consist. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the one in whom all fullness dwells. His name is above every name under heaven and earth. Do you know Him? Has He found His dwelling place in your heart? He's the one that sets the captives free. Praise be to Jesus. He's the one that has changed my life from sin. He's the omnipotent one. He's the one in whom all things are naked and open before Him. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's my high priest, which can be touched. He's my high tower in whom I put my trust, my confidence, faith. Do you? He's my Lord in whom He has become all to all men. He's the one that deserves our worship. He's the one that deserves our praise. He's the one that fulfilled the law. He's the one that rebuked the hypocrites. He's the one that healed the sick, caused the blind to see, caused the lame to walk. He's the one that was nailed to the cross for my sins. He's the one that was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Lastly, it is in Him, Jesus Christ, that we are complete. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You are all of these and many more. Father, I could stand here all morning and I could not get to the bottom. I could not say all the things that You are. These are only a few, Father. I thank You for the blood of Christ this morning. Pray that You would cover me again, Lord, as we open Your Word, Father, that You would give utterance to Your servant, Father. You know my tremblings, Father. You know my weakness. You know my very being. You know more about me than I do. Father, my burden this morning is to share what You've laid upon my heart. So, Father, we pray that You would stand by Your servant, and I pray also for the congregation here, that You would illuminate the hearts, Father, that You would quicken the hearts, that You would open the ears of our understanding, the hearts of our understanding, Lord, that we could receive. Father, that we would understand, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. Lord, bless this congregation. We give this service to You, Father. Pray that You alone, Lord Jesus, would be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I count it a privilege to be with you this morning. But I also recognize my need this morning very much. I would covet your prayers. I would like to just speak this morning on a very simple message. And yet I feel it's a very needed message in all of our lives. The title of the message this morning is Complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. Maybe for a beginning, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Very interesting that some of the things that Jeff shared, some of the things that God's been laying on my heart. Just like to read the first four verses of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And I believe that we can also put in there where it says Israel, is that we could say that and prayer to God is for America to be saved, or for us here in our local area here, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I believe some of my burden that has been born from this message, I preached a similar message about a month ago or so at a different community. I believe some of the burden that has been born from that is also, as Wilmer shared this morning, I come from the same background, from an Amish background where there's a lot of religion, a lot of good things, but little reality. And that has been a real burden to me as I've watched our youth, as I've watched us as a group of people, where we can become, can I say it this way, that we can find ourselves falling into a groove, maybe not experiencing the reality of Christ living within us. Our people are very zealous. When I say people, our people, I'm talking about the Amish people. If I can single them out, I feel like I have that liberty to do that. I'm one of them. I was one of them. They have a zeal to keep things, to keep their traditions that were handed down to them. When Jeff shared that the rabbi has more authority than the Word of God, that's the way it is with our people, some of them. It's what my forefather said. It's what Grandpa said, that holds more weight than what the Bible says. That's false. It's false doctrine. But that's where many of our people are. I would just like to look at the righteousness this morning. What is your righteousness? As I considered the message, you know, what is your righteousness this morning? If I were to hand you a piece of paper this morning, and I would go around and hand each one of you a piece of paper, and you would write on there, what is your righteousness? What would you put on there? What would you put on there? Deep, deep down inside, is it Jesus Christ, or is it that I belong to a church and that I dress right and I have all the right things and I'm looking okay on the outside? What is your righteousness? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're still struggling in your walk as a Christian. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and wondering, why can I not find the grace and the victory to walk the Christian life with joy? What is wrong? What is wrong with me this morning? You've been born again, you've confessed your sins, you've given your life to Christ. But maybe there's still things in your life that you're not aware that are there. Maybe your concept of who Christ is not been shed abroad in your heart. I don't know. Guess my burden is a lot to our young people. But I'd like for all of us to listen. There's some that are not youth anymore and that still have a struggle. They might still have a struggle to accept Christ as the supreme one, as the ultimate one. He is all. He is all that we need this morning. Let me share a thought with you this morning. I hope you can bear with me. If you think I'm going off on a wrong trail here, bear with me. I'm open to correction. But your righteousness is not based on your good deeds or your performance. Many times I feel like And this has been something that I've wrestled through in my earlier years. When people ask me how I'm doing, what do I reflect on? My first reflections is how I'm doing in the Christian walk. Right? Is that the way it works? Many of us, if I would ask a young person, how are you doing in your Christian walk? Almost invariably, they would reflect on how they're performing. Your righteousness is not based on that. Is that correct? Your righteousness is not based on how well you perform. Please bear with me. I want to bring some balance in the message. But to get your thoughts started, our righteousness is in Christ. Our faith in Christ. That is my righteousness. It's not how well I get things done. It's not how well I get my T's all crossed and my I's all dotted. That is not my righteousness. Maybe our focus, and please forgive me if I say something here that's not accurate, or if you feel like this is not where I am, but I feel like I'm sharing out of an experience in my own heart. I would just like to share a bit of my testimony, if I may. As a young believer, I loved the Lord. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 16. I felt very free. I felt very good in my heart. I was baptized. I thought, now I'm on the way to glory. Everything will be fine from here on out. But it was not that way. The devil is behind me. Jesus is ahead of me. No more battles. I'm not sure that I thought all of those things, but I thought things are going to be smooth from here on out. I found myself starting to falter at times. I found myself falling into sin. And because of our people, so much emphasis was put on works, on works, on works. And I don't think that faith was lifted up enough. And I don't criticize the people back there. I look to my own self. But I felt like my focus shifted from Christ to things outward. I started looking on the outward things that I was doing, or maybe not doing. And I started focusing there. And I started losing my way. I started falling and falling again and finding it hard sometimes to believe that God really can forgive me. I feel like my understanding of Christ was very limited. My understanding of my faith grounded in Christ was not very mature as a young believer. And so I grappled with this. I tried in my best efforts to please God. And the harder I tried, the farther behind I got. The harder I tried to become righteous, the less it seemed I could do. I just felt like I'm just falling constantly. Christ was not my all in all. I feel like I sort of had shifted my focus from looking to Christ to now I was focusing on some of the things that I was not doing. Or I was My faith was not grounded. There was a few brothers that came along, tried to share with me, tried to get me to see that Christ does forgive, He can forgive. But I realized that I'm in serious need of help. I was struggling with my righteousness. I was trying to do everything right. My conscience was tender. I wanted to do everything right. But I found myself just not able to do it. I was under the law. I found myself married to the law, thinking I'm going to do this in a letter, not realizing what was happening. I'm blessed this morning to say that God brought me out of that. The Lord brought me out of that. Through much prayer, I'm sure my parents were praying, the church I'm sure was praying, even though it seemed it was a difficult thing for them to bring me to a place to see, I need to look at Christ. I can be complete in Christ. He is all. He is the ultimate one. He is the one that fills every need in my life. Let's turn to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. My prayer this morning, if there is some young soul here or anyone that is struggling with trying to find Christ as His all in all. And I know that sounds maybe like a simple term, but did you know that if you get a hold of being Christ is all that I need, it will change. It will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize your life. But if you are out about doing good and looking at all the things that I have to do and all the things I should be doing, you are missing a great part. Because your focus is no longer on the risen Christ. It's no longer on the suffering Christ. And all these things that we've read about Christ. You are missing a very important part. Let's read Romans 3, verse 19. I'm just going to share a few verses here. Read a few verses here. Starting in 19, it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Verse 22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all men, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." You see that? The righteousness of God, which is by faith. It's very clear. Have you been justified this morning? As you sit here this morning under the sound of my voice, are you justified this morning? What does justified mean? What does the word justified mean? Brother Mel, can you give us a definition of justified? Yes. Free. Free in Christ. Does it mean I've never done anything wrong? No. The gospel is we come under Christ and we're hid under Christ, as our family sharing, as we've heard this morning. We are under Christ. We've come under Christ. Christ has covered us with His blood. He's justified us. There's no one here this morning that can say, I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. What is the answer to finding that completeness in Christ? Is to find our position under Christ, hid with Christ. Christ came for us. He died for us. And by the way, Christ is not holding a stick over your head this morning. Some of you may have grown up in a home where there was difficulty. Maybe your father was abusive. And you have a concept that every time I do something wrong, God's going to whack me over the head. Those things are realities in some children's lives. Being justified, verse 24, freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, here it is again, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Let's just look at a few verses on down. Let's look at verse 27. It says, where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law of works? It says, by what law of works? He says, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And this is where many of our mainstream churches, I believe they take these verses and they run with them and they don't take all of Scripture. Therefore, they say, as long as I have faith, quote, faith, I'm fine, right? There's many mainstream churches that say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and they are in all kinds of sin. Does that mean that they're a true believer? I believe we need to take Scripture in its whole content. We can't take one or two verses or a chapter or two and say that the other parts, well, that's not for me. We'll get to that later. Paul is speaking to the Jews, I believe, here and trying to get them to see that it's not all these outward rituals that is going to make them righteous. It is going to be by faith, trusting in God. What does it say in 1 John? 1 John chapter 5, we read, just read it to you. 1 John 5:5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. I can tell you this morning that when I lived among in my growing up years, living among the Amish, the lifestyle was not a struggle for me. Driving a horse and buggy was not a struggle for me. Adhering to all the standards of the church was not a struggle for me. The struggle that I experienced in my early walk was faith. It was faith. Faith that overcomes the world. It's personal. It's each one has to receive, believe, receive Christ, experience the fullness of Christ. That is our victory. I believe this is again where self-righteousness is born easily, is when we focus so much on the outward that our lives become so much involved in our outward and the focus shifts from Christ to our outward that now we start comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I believe it's very important that we hold Christ in His rightful place. Unless we hold Christ in its right place, He is the Supreme One. My friend, we will not. It will not come out right for us. It will not. Christ is the ultimate one. Look with me to Galatians 5. I'm sorry. Turn with me to Galatians 3. The Galatians here, we read just the first few verses. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And this I see in my people many times. When I accepted Christ, there was no law in my heart. I had given Christ everything. But it is very easily, if we're not grounded in the Word of God, to start picking up things and try to do things to become right. And I'm not against doing. But if it's because of my righteousness, then it's going to not work out for me. It's not going to bring victory in my life. It's not going to have the same effect in my life. I remember so clearly, some years later, in my walk, that John 8, verse 32 and 36 became a reality. A very practical reality to me. There were so many things that I was carrying and trying to become, do this and do this and do this. There was lots of baggage in my life. I felt like there were weights that kept me from going on with God. Looking back, I can see those things much more clear than I could at the time. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Does that mean now that I can live as I please? I can do as I please? I'm free. No, that doesn't mean that. It means I'm free to serve Christ. There's no more bondage. There's no more things on my back that I wonder, well, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? What do I do with this failure in my life? I take them to Christ. Christ fulfills all these needs in my life. I take them to the cross and I let them there with Christ. And I get up and I go on. I don't try to do all these things in my own strength. And when someone asks me how I'm doing, I'm not saying, well, I'm trying. I'm trying a little harder. I guess I just need to try harder. That's our term. That's our people's way of saying things. Well, keep trying. No, it's not in keep trying. It's in dying. It's in dying, as we heard this morning. If you want to live a life, a victorious life in Christ of freedom, we need to get a hold of faith. Faith in Christ. I'm all for church life. But going to a church, becoming a member, trying to fit in, and all those things are blessings. Please don't take from me, I'm against them. But that alone will not give you the victory that you need in Christ. You will need to experience a Pentecost. You will need to experience a burning bush. You need to experience a reality of Christ. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians verse chapter 2. If you look at that verse in verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Many of us, I would dare say many of us, have received Christ in a right way. Broken, contrite, done with self, absolutely free. I want everything, all my life to be surrounded with Christ, or Christ walking, living out in me. He says, "As ye have therefore received Him, now walk in Him." Now walk in Him. Don't deviate. Don't try looking here and there and wondering, well, how do I measure with my brother? Do I fit in? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. He is the one that gives victory. He gives power. The next verse, 7 there, "rooted and built up in Him." And this is a verse that was not a part of me in my early Christian walk. I was not rooted. That little plant was just very... It went with the wind back and forth and it was shaking and it was not rooted. When the trials came, I was not rooted in Christ. I was not established like I should have been. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I wonder, I seriously wonder how many in this room could raise their hand and say that that is me. I have found that. I'm not going to ask you for a raise of hands. But consider that verse, John 8, verse 32 and 36. Just turn back there quickly and read it again. "And ye shall know the truth." What is the truth? The Word of God. If we know the Word of God, the truth shall make you free. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees here. He was telling them how they're in bondage. And they said, "We're not in bondage. We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." In verse 36, He says, "If the Son," He's speaking about Himself. If Jesus, if I make you free, Jesus is speaking to the people, "If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed." Is there someone here this morning that really doesn't care to be free? Is there some here this morning that are under bondage, that have not experienced the blessing of giving their life to Christ? Trying to establish your own righteousness. You know, as the Jews did there in where Paul is speaking about there in Romans 10, that is what my people are doing. They're going about trying to establish their own righteousness. I have to drive a horse and buggy, steel wheels. We could go on and on. This is the way we always did it. This is the way it's right. The rubber on the car is wrong. all these things. And please, I'm not discriminating my people. I love my people. But many will perish because of lack of teaching. Often my heart weeps when I see that. And when I hear that. I believe it's very true, as Wilmer shared this morning. They are looking for something that is real. Something that brings life. They've seen too much of the false Christ. They've seen too many people that profess Christ and go out into the world and serve themselves and live it up and saying, I'm free in Christ. I'm a believer. This Jesus will not attract my people. It will not attract my people. Because they do have some things in order. They do have some things right. Family structure, close-knitness, but they are lacking the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the gospel that faith is lifted up in its proper place. That Jesus is put up on a pedestal high and lofty that all can see Him. That's what they need to see. It seems like there's something about liberty. The Bible speaks about liberty quite a bit. It seems to me like our people, when there's the word liberty is mentioned, it's almost like they're afraid of it because they've seen the misuse of it. Isn't that right, Lester? They are afraid of it. Because a lot of people that leave the Amish and they say, I've found liberty in Christ, and I believe many have, but they've abused that liberty. They've used it for a cloak. How does it say there? Someone quote that? Use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. They go out and they leave the faith, or they leave the holy life that Christ is calling us to live here. And they say, well, if that's their Jesus, I'll stay right where I am. That's right where I'll stay. It's not safe anywhere else. That's how our people think. So may God help us to be that true salt. That salt that actually, having that true life in Christ, that they see this is something more than most of these people just throw everything to the wind. They need to see Christ. That's what you were looking for, Wilmer, right? You were looking for reality. If I could just say this, that Christ has paid it all. And I know that was something in my life that I was not able to comprehend. I think, again, from my perspective, there was too many things that I had to accomplish yet. I did not find the completeness in Christ, recognizing that Christ had paid everything. All I needed to do was submit to the Lord Jesus. And He would work these things out in my life. Instead of, maybe sometimes we use the term, the cart gets in front of the horse. A number of you know what it is to have a cart behind the horse. But many times we get the cart in front of the horse. Have we ever seen that? Have you ever seen that done? The cart's in the front and the horse is in the back pushing with his nose. Have you ever seen that? I haven't. It doesn't work very well. And that's the same way that if we promote works, you have to do all this, and this, and then you have faith in Christ. It doesn't work. If we teach faith and faith is lifted up, works will follow. There will be fruit coming behind that. It will, if it's genuine faith in God. Faith in Christ will produce works. Fruit. Good fruit. It's nothing more in me that I have to muster up. I remember so well when God showed me that. You know, I don't have to try anymore to muster up more things. It was such a blessing to my life. I would like to share with you the liberty that I experienced in Christ to a greater dimension. I don't have to do all these things. My focus has went to Christ. And I'm complete in Him. I'm under His umbrella. And I do these things because I love Him. I do these things because He has bought me. It's no longer that, well, I guess I probably should because that's what the church wants of me. And, you know, I just don't think that it's necessary. But I guess I can because if I don't, they're probably going to wonder what I'm really all about. Those things are from the pit. Those things don't bring any fruit. Sometimes people do things and you wonder, well, I thought he was a Christian. I thought he was doing well. Maybe his life was not on the rock. Maybe his life was not hid in Christ. Maybe he was trying to put on his own righteousness and he didn't find his place under Christ. As this one brother from New York, Wilmer shared a little bit about him from New York. He just gave the simple illustration of us standing behind Christ. And everything that we do, we just stay behind Christ. We look around Christ. We're not going out on our own limb, trying to do something good here, to impress people, to try to get people to think well of us. But our motivation is to love Him and to serve Him. And with that, serve each other. I think that's what Christ would have us to do. Turn to Galatians again for a couple of verses there. These verses became very special to me after my early journey in my Christian walk. If we just look at the few verses here in Galatians 2, verse 16 through the end, says, knowing that a man... Maybe I should say this first. It's very interesting that the thing that Paul had to deal with the Jews is the very, very exact same thing that we have to deal with our people today. It's not just the Amish. It's the Catholics. It's many. We try to do something to become right. Through a law. Through a letter. It's so easy to do something, isn't it? If you have any discipline at all, it's so easy. If I tell you have to jump 5 feet and then you're a Christian, we could all do that, couldn't we? Well, we know that's foolishness. But here he's teaching us that it's not by the law. Let's just read it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but notice what he says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. By the faith. What is faith? Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I think the sad story or the sad thing that I see many times is our people don't think that they are under a law. They're just doing the right things. That they're just doing what they think is expedient for them, to keep them from going out, to keep their lifestyle all together. And I'm not saying that they can't keep their lifestyle. I'm not against that lifestyle at all. I actually commend them in many ways. I've often said to my people, if the gospel could be preached in truth there, I believe our people would just flourish. Because there's a lot of things that are commendable. But if we do not have the gospel in its purity, then we are lost as any other people are. Amen? But if, verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Here Paul is saying, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. We know the next verse very well. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Notice that again. I live by the faith. Paul does not bring up all the do's and don'ts, but he lifts up faith. I mean, Paul came from this thing of, he kept the letter. He kept everything. I mean, Paul was, he could speak. I think he had a platform to stand on. He did everything right. If you read his testimony, he did everything right, but his faith was not in Christ. And now he's saying, I found Him. I found Him. It's by faith. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I like verse 21. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. That word frustrate means despise or reject. I do not despise the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead. None of us would say this morning that Christ came in vain, would we? None of us would say that. Christ has not died in vain. But Paul is saying, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So where is our righteousness? It's in Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in the supreme being of Christ. Turn with me to Galatians 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again? And again, this is my people. It's the Jews. It's the world in general. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why is it that we do that? I would like to give you something that I believe is the reason, one of the reasons. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. But consider with me this morning. Is it because we're not secure in Christ? Is it because we're lacking that assurance? We're not finding that we are complete in Him? Is that the reason we sometimes turn to other things to try to become righteous? We have lost maybe the focus on Christ is our righteousness. I wonder if that's not the reason. Some of you may be asking this morning in your, as I'm preaching here, well, is the law sin? And we could turn to Galatians 3, verse 21 through 27, says, is the law then against the promises of God? It says, God forbid. For if there had been given a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law could not bring life. The law did not bring life. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Notice that again? By faith. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law and shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Again, the law is not evil. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. As we look at our children, we use a law. Son, you may not do this. You may not do this. It would not work for us if we would tell our little two-year-old, you walk in the Spirit. Child, you walk in the Spirit. We know that wouldn't work. They need a law. It's a schoolmaster. But when Christ comes, then the law is put away, and there's something higher, much higher than the law. Amen? It's much higher. Verse 25, let's read verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by works. Oh, no, it's by faith. Justified by faith. It's by faith that we're justified. It's not by my outward things that I get done. I'm not saying those things aren't good in themselves. But let's get our focus at the right place. Hebrews 11:6, we could all quote that. But without faith, it is impossible. It doesn't say it's hard. It says it's impossible. When something is impossible, it means it can't be done. So I take the word, and I believe that. It's impossible to please who? To please God without faith. And I know that faith, maybe for some of you, it may be out there, you're not sure what to think about faith, how to believe in, or how to believe, or maybe there's some gray areas in your life. Maybe you need to find someone to find out what is wrong with me? Maybe I don't see Christ for who He is. Galatians 5, verse 1 through 4, or 1 and 4, says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then in verse 4 it says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. And I believe this is some of what I was experiencing. Christ did not have the effect on my life anymore. I was consumed by these outward things that I was trying to get right. And I was pulling up my bootstraps. You should have watched me. I was trying. And I tried and I tried ever so hard to get these things right so I can be free. My heart was not free. But praise God, He showed me in time. He gave me His Son again and again to see. It's Jesus Christ. And in Him, I have life. The abundant life. The fullness of life. Are you experiencing it? Some of you are nodding your heads. Praise God. Are you experiencing the fullness of God? I would like to just turn to James. As we come to the close here, I would like to just take you to James to bring some balance. Chapter 2 of James. I used to work with a man 15, 18 years ago. He was a Christian man, professed to be a believer. We talked about these things. He did not like James. He was a Pentecostal, and he did not like James. The book of James was he just pushed it away because it brought some accountability. It brought some practical things. You know, if you don't have works, let's just read it here. If we begin in verse 13, or let's start in 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? I don't know what the mainstream churches do today with that verse. Either they ignore it, or then they just simply throw it out of their mind. I'm not sure. If a brother or a sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? We all know the answer to those things. If we love Christ and our fellow man is in need, there's a needy situation, we would not do that, would we? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 20. Let's read 19 too. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And then he says in verse 20, but wilt thou, O man, O vain man, he says. Notice that term, O vain man. That faith without works is dead. Now I would like to just bring some balance this morning to this message that if your faith is not real, that if your faith is real, if your faith is complete in Christ, you will have fruit. Assured. If you're not having fruit in your life, then you need to see, maybe you haven't been converted. Or maybe there's some issues in your life that you need to look at. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I like that. You know, Abraham had to believe God's word. He had to believe God when he called him up to the mountain to offer his son, didn't he? He could have said, well, I believe God that you can raise him from the dead, and he actually did believe that in his heart. But what did he do? He actually got up and he saddled his asses and he took his child and he went up the mountain. And that was faith made perfect. He lived his life according to God's word. It was not enough to just say, I believe that Jesus has died for me, and now I'll happily go on my way and live for myself, and no one can touch my life, and I'll do my thing, whatever I want to do, and I'm a believer. No, that's not what Abraham did. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I believe if we hold up one and not the other, it will not come out right. I believe we need to take the whole Bible. But let us lift up faith. Faith needs to have the preeminence in Christ. Lifting up Christ. In closing, I would just like to just give you a few things that the Lord laid on my heart. That if we find ourselves secure in Christ, that Christ is, we are complete in Christ. And I hope you understand what I mean by being complete in Christ. There was many years that I loved Jesus with all my heart, but I was not complete. I was not believing Him for everything. I'm not sure if you can relate to that. There was not things that I was holding back, but there was things that I felt like I just, in my own mind, in my heart, there were just things that I did not accept, that I did not fully give myself. It will change our whole Christian life. It will change how we think about other people. I believe with all of my heart, if we find ourselves secure in Christ, we will have no room to look down on my brother. I will not have room to look down on my brother. If we are secure in Christ, we will not have time to slander others. We will also be blessed to walk the lowly road. When Christ is all that I need, when I find myself secure in Christ, my outward circumstances will not affect me. They will affect me, yes, but I will know how to respond. I will know how to respond. I will respond differently than if I have to prove to others that this is not who I am. This is who I am. And one last thing. We will not be concerned. I will not be so concerned about myself, but my confidence and my joy are in Him. My joy, my confidence, my security. Being complete, that complete means filled. I'm filled up with Christ. I'm full of Christ. That's my heart for all of us this morning, that we would all find our position. We would find our place in Christ. It will revolutionize you. And I trust many of you have experienced that. But I'm sure under this, the many young people, and maybe even older ones, maybe there's some that wrestle. Where is my place? Why is it that I can't rest? Maybe faith has not found a resting place. That songwriter there that shares his testimony, my faith has found a resting place. It rests there. Hallelujah. God bless each one of you.
Amen. Jesus Christ is made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Completing Christ. Oh, Brother Vernon, I could so relate to the struggle. When I'm insecure and I need to get my acceptance or my security in other people and other Christians, you know. Oh, it's such an anxiety and such a striving, you know, because I want to appear, you know, righteous so that I'm accepted and looked up to. But when we come to the end of all our own strivings and cast ourselves on the Lord, and we are received and accepted in the Beloved, and that witness of Christ in our hearts, what a rest to the soul. What a freedom from striving. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Vernon, for sharing with us this morning. Appreciate that word. Maybe someone here today is wrestling and struggling, and you'd like to cast it all on Jesus today. He invites you, come. All ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden, come unto Jesus. I will give you rest. Amen. We'll just open it up for a moment here. Just sing one verse of Just As I Am. You know, that's how we come. Not try a little harder to get better, then I'll come. No. Just as I am, I come. Amen. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, Jesus bids you come. Will you come? Let's sing together and you come right away. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst sing another verse. Jesus is standing. Come to Jesus. What is the next verse? Somebody have the hymnal? Not quite sure. What's the next line? 226, is it? Where's our chorister?
Waiting not.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Amen. Let's sing another verse. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood times we've just encouraged you that have responded to just pray here and then return to your seat. And I think that's fine, but I know at times there is also a blessing of being able to open up our hearts with one another and share what God has laid on our heart and be able to confess with our mouth and then pray one for another, that there can come a healing and an assuredness. So those who have responded, if you would care to, you can go to the basement and someone will meet you there to pray with you and to encourage one another in the Lord. You just want to rise to your feet at this time and make your way to the basement to my left. God bless you. God giveth grace to the humble. He helpeth the needy. Hallelujah. Quite a few sisters have responded. Could we have Barbie? Yes, thank you. Brother Paul, amen. Brother Mel. We'll just open it here for a moment. If there's anyone who wants to share a testimony, stand to your feet. Maybe a word of confession or testimony. Real quickly. Okay, there's a hand here on the brother's side, and there's one up here on the sister's side toward the front. All right, Brother Ben.
Yes, I really appreciated the message this morning. Coming from the same background as Vernon, I can really appreciate that. Just had a couple of thoughts that came to mind as he was preaching. One of them was about the principles or the things that we may look at that are good and good principles. And I just thought, you know, all those principles are great, but if we don't have any value to put to those principles, that's when they become of none effect. And, you know, if we can take the Bible and apply values to those kind of principles, I think there's a blessing in that. And the other thing I just thought I'd share is I either heard this or read this not so long ago. There was this was back in the time of Abraham Lincoln, and there was this meeting that was scheduled, and that Abraham Lincoln was coming to this meeting, and there was a speaker that was going to speak that evening, and they warned this speaker to not to become too religious in his speech that evening because Abraham Lincoln was going to be there. And he just silently received that, and when he was speaking, he looked over the crowd and he said, he realizes that Abraham Lincoln is there, and he said, if Abraham Lincoln doesn't repent, he will likewise perish. And I just had to think about that. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter where we come from or where we are at today. If we don't likewise repent, if we don't repent, we're all likewise going to perish. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. On the sister's side, yes, go ahead.
I just want to thank you, Brother Vernon, for sharing the truth of God's Word with us. And I definitely have experienced the freedom in believing, just believing the completeness that is in Christ. But this message was just so refreshing. I just needed to hear it again and have my mind be renewed. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing with us.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, Brother Boomer.
Yes, that was so refreshing for me the other evening to just come to that place where we can just trust the Lord with everything. And if He is within us, then those things automatically come. The one thing that really caught my attention was if we come and we totally surrender to God, Jesus our Savior, and we just completely are within Him and He is within us. And we totally surrender all our rights. Everything that's going on around us, He will reveal Himself to us. He will reveal His Word to us. He will reveal the way to us. However, if we try to do those things on our own, we will have to learn all these things. And my mind immediately went to the Bible verse where it says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It was just so freeing. Wednesday, I just rejoiced and rejoiced all day. It's a very good day.
Praise God. One of the sisters has a mic. Go ahead.
For the first 10 years of my Christian life, I struggled with sometimes assurance of salvation. I had no victory over sin. And I came to the place where I realized I was not getting anywhere. And I realized that I needed something more. And I turned my life over to God and said, God, I cannot be a Christian in my own strength. I need You to work this out in me. And since then, God has really been doing that for me and has worked my life. I mean, God has been my Christianity. And it's flowed from my life rather than something that I have to do. It's something that I can be. And I praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. Consider the lilies. How beautiful. How delicate. Colorful. They don't toil. You know, the power of the reproduction is in the seed. And when the seed falls in the ground and dies, then it springs forth. After its kind, it brings forth much fruit. Oh, praise God. What a beautiful place to stand in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.